I hope you're doing well this morning. I thank you so much for the opportunity, Pastor Pees, to be able to be at your church here at Faith, my first time. And let me just say, your song leader, you win the most energetic song leader of the year award right there. Y'all might get used to it. Good night. He's just all into it. Praise the Lord. I pray as well that as far as the time that you've had this church, that you don't take a church and preach the word of God for granted. And so let me make sure everything's okay. Can y'all hear me okay? Is my mic just fine? Okay, I got a big mouth anyway. I don't think I even might need a microphone, but I think you can get it out. But anyway, as you said, my name is Brother Adrian. My wife, dear, could you stand up, please? This is my wife, Tabitha, and we've been married. You have a seat, dear. We've been married for 3 years now. I've been in evangelism for the past 5 years, and our little girl's in the nursery. She is 2 years old, and she has already been to around 32 states, and she's already been out of the country. So that gives a little bit of a scope to how much we travel across the country. It's not like we're just bumbling around the country doing nothing, but we do believe and preach the word of God where we go and give the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I know different evangelists, you know, they have different things. Everything that we do by the grace of God is to further the gospel when they happen. You know, why do we travel? The gospel get further. Why do I drink coffee? So I get the gospel further. I mean, everything that happens within our life by the grace of God to further the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. We got one life. And as I was preaching to the teenagers earlier, we got one shot at this. And so by the grace of God, we want to give everything that we've got in the time that we have. Well, as we get ready to start even this morning, I know the different activities of the day, and many times when you have food afterwards, that's where minds are at. So if you just stay with me, I do talk fast, as you've already figured that out, and so I can go ahead and finish fast. So there's a perk to that, and so you just listen quickly, and by the grace of God, I want to nail home one main point here from the Word of God in the book of 2 Kings. So if you're a Bible, I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter number 7, would you? 2 Kings chapter number 7 is where we're going to be. And I believe that this is something that is so very much near and dear to the heart of God that we must get a hold of and get this truth within our heart. 2 Kings chapter number 7. As we get started, though, isn't it so true that many times when you have really good news to share, that it's hard to truly hold it in? You know what I'm saying? That if you got, like, many times when I remember my wife and I, when we got engaged, we got engaged in Beaufort, North Carolina, if you might be familiar with that is. And when we got off this little boat where we had this dinner cruise and stuff, we came and there was a horse and buggy there, and we jumped aboard. And when we jumped to the horse and buggy, we went out to a special little place where I popped the question to my wife and asked her to marry me. Well, that day when I asked her, do you know how long it took after that ring got on that finger, how quick it was that she grabbed that cell phone and called mama? You know, it doesn't take too long. I mean, it takes too long for it to be posted to Facebook, posted to Twitter, and everything else. Why? Because honestly, when we have good news, isn't it so true that we share it? You know, why is it said many times, like a lady that is pregnant, you say there is a glow about them. Why? Because there's an excitement there. There's something that they look forward to there that they necessarily cannot hide whatsoever if you're truly excited about something. Now, as we look at this passage that we're looking right here, I want to preach you the message. The message is entitled this: I Just Couldn't Keep It to Myself. You know, I believe that God has given to us something. And it's not because it's not good. It's not because it's not wonderful. And I believe that many times when we've been given the blessed gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, unfortunately, many times, we hold it to ourselves. And I want to look at a passage of people that did that and what the result of it was and why eventually they did give it, because they truly could not keep it to themselves. So stay with me as we read this passage here in 2 Kings, starting chapter number 7 and verse number 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? Now, many of you, this is a story that needs a little bit of begs explanation, so it's not just we're reading verses arbitrarily. Let me give you a background of what's going on right here. Many of you are very familiar with Israel, obviously, and during this time, there was a city called Samaria. And Samaria was at the time being laid siege upon. You say, what exactly does that mean? I have to give a picture of everything because I have a very simple mind. So this is how basically it works. Let's just say this pulpit right here represented Samaria. What happened is the enemy came over and they surrounded the city. And what they would do is they lay siege to the city, meaning that no supplies could come in, no supplies could go out, no trade would happen. So eventually, they would have to come out of that city and surrender to the enemy, and not one sword has been taken out of his sheath. Everything is just normal. They are going to have to give up because eventually they are going to starve them out. Does that make sense? And so they surrounded the city there in Samaria. Well, as they had the city of Samaria surrounded, obviously having no food and different things and water going out, these people begin to go through the terrible, terrible famine. Something that is unlike actually any famine in the Bible. I mean, it got so bad in the city of Samaria where they were that people were eating donkey's heads. They were eating dove dung. People were selling and exchanging it as far as for food. They had got to the point that people, mothers would come with their children and they would make bargains with other ladies saying, hey, this week we shall eat your child and next week we can have my child. I'm telling you, folks, it was some bad times that had happened there in the land of Samaria. And as they were, they refused to surrender to the enemy. And so they continued to stay there. And as there was, all this was happening, this is Samaria. And outside the city gates were four men, four lepers that we read. And that's where the story picks up. Background, let's look again in verse number 3. And there are four leprous men at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit ye here, we here, until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they shall kill us, well, we shall but die. When they arose in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians, and when they were come up to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel had hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they rose up, they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And the lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp. They went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it. And came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry to the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Let's have a word of prayer. Look at this matter. I couldn't keep it to myself. Lord, I do love you, and I thank you for this time. Lord, as we look here on this Sunday morning, Father, we're not here just to check off a box and say we're in church. Lord, we're here to meet with you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just help us, Father, to be able to have such a, Lord, a passion for thee, Lord, to learn and to come closer to you. Lord, I pray, Lord, whatever it is that you choose to teach us from your word, including myself, may we be listeners, not just hearers, but doers. Lord, remove distractions from my heart, my mind. Lord, I come before you. There is no one inside this room. I come before you and say, God, I am not looking for you to help me. Lord, I am looking for you to take over throughout this message. Father, hide me, get rid of me. And Father, may your word be exalted, and may you get all honor and all glory and all praise for anything that is done this morning. Well, I pray for the listeners, Lord. There are things that have happened this week to cloud their minds and cloud their hearts. So right now, before we even start, we pray, Lord, that you would just remove those distractions, remove all those things from their heart, Lord, that we may be able to fully grasp what your word is sharing with us this morning. Lord, we do thank you again for everything that you've done and will do. We do not take it for granted, for it's in Christ's name we do pray it all. Amen. So here's what happened. Remember, Syria has been laid siege. And the gate of the city, there's these four men. And these four men are sitting at the sides of the city. They're looking at each other and they say, hey, you know what? Hey, guys, we have leprosy. There's no cure. We are going to die if we stay right here by standing by this gate. Now, if we walk back into the city in Samaria, we're going to die there because they have no food either. Now, we have another option. There is this option that we can walk out to the outskirts of the land where the Syrians were, the enemy was. We can walk out and we can surrender ourselves to them. Now, it's possible they're going to kill us, but there is a sneaky possibility that they may allow us to come into their camp and they'll give us food and we will still live. So here are options. We wait here, we die. We go into the city, we die. We go to the Syrians, we might live. So the guys say, let's take our chances and go to the Syrian army and surrender ourselves. So they go out, and I don't know exactly how they approached it, whether they had their hands up in the air as they approached the Syrians, and they said, hey, Syrians, we give up. Hey, we don't mean any harm. We're just hungry lepers. We just need something. And so they come with their hands in the air, and they go up to the tent, and when they go up to the tent, they realize there's nobody in here. So they look and they see that there's gold, there's silver, there's food. The Bible says they grab it all up and they go and hide it. They thought, man, Elijah, this is great. Man, they got food in here. They got silver, they got gold. And so they try it again. They go up to another tent and they have their hands up and surrender. As they go up again to this other tent, they look inside and they get to the conclusion that guess what? Nobody is in any of these tents and nobody is here to protect this. And so what happened was God has sent a great noise to come, and the people, the Syrians around, thought that the Hittites or some other kingdom who are coming in to destroy them. And so in the middle of the night, they left everything behind. They left their silver, their gold, their food, their supplies, and they took off in fear, and everything they had was remaining there. And these lepers, they began to take all this silver, take all this gold, take all this food, and man alive, they began to set it down. I don't know if they were jumping in piles of gold. I don't know what they did, but they were just basking in this thing. This is wonderful, and this is great. Man, we got everything that we could ever ask for. We got so much food. We got food coming out of our ears. We've got money. We've got finances. We've got all these things. And do you know what they said after they had everything? You know what they said? They came down here, and I believe verse number 9, then they said one to another, we do not well. Wait a second. You were just sitting at the gate and about to die. Now you have everything that you could ask for. And they said, we do not well. Why? Because they said this, this day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry to the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household. Do you know what I believe is these men, they were so blessed. They realized that they were given this. They're over here. They're eating all this wonderful food. They're sipping this beautiful stuff. Man, all these fancy drinks and all these fancy wines that are over here. And they know that over there, they've got brothers. They've got sisters. They've got family that are starving to death. And you know what they could? They could not in right conscience enjoy these blessings knowing that their brothers and sisters are dying. You know, many times that God has blessed us, we have the truth of knowing that we're on our way to heaven. We have the truth of the Word of God inside of our hearts. Man, we know the books of the Bible backwards and forwards. We can be able to tell you all the verses of why a person should pray, why a person should be able to go to church. Man alive, we can spat them out. But let me tell you something. There comes a point when a person gets so just discontented about where they are. Do you know why? Because they're keeping it all to themselves. And you know, I believe there are three reasons why we see in this passage that these people couldn't keep to themselves. Number one, you see it in verse number nine. This is a day of good tidings and we hold our peace. Number one, these men were indebted to the ones that were in the city. If you look in the book of Romans chapter 1, verses 15 to 16, as Paul was saying, he says, for I am a debtor to those Greeks. I thought that's an interesting word choice, don't you? He's not saying I owe them. He says, no, I am a debtor to them. Now, definitely don't raise your hand when I ask this question, but ever been in debt? Are you currently in debt? You say, what's the big deal? You know, I'm not running a financial seminar or anything like that, but you know, obviously, I remember when I graduated from college, I got my first credit card. Dun, 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 dun. You can play the music if you want. Yeah. And not to say every credit card's bad. Obviously, you get points, different things. And again, but this credit card was for Best Buy. I love Best Buy. I like electronics. I like gadgets. I mean, things that tickle my toes. I don't know. I just think they're really neat. Now, as I got this credit card, man, I thought I was John D. Rockefeller. And I went there and I started buying up everything. Man, I got a new computer. Man, I had a new digital camera. I go to college. And man, check this computer out. I mean, check this camera out. You know, all these different things I bought. Now, eventually, obviously, if you keep on paying that minimum payment, eventually, it's not going to add up. You know, you're going to be paying them for years upon years upon years upon years. And so eventually they stopped my credit limit and they said, hey, look, you got to pay us both. I remember as those days came of me trying to pay off that credit card, Pastor. You know, I would go into Best Buy and, you know, when I went to Best Buy and knowing I owed them, I would like have my head down going to Best Buy, feeling guilty. They might recognize me. But, you know, they might have like this little database of people who owe them, and they're going to look at me funny. So I kept my head down. I would go to the register, and I would buy something with pure cash now, and I would get the cash down, and they would look at me and say, would you like to use your reward zone number? No, you don't want to know my name. You don't know anything about me. I'm not going to do it. Why? I felt guilty, man. I mean, it was like, why? I owed them money. And so every time I went in there, I was indebted to them. I can never go there in peace. Now, I remember that last day, I gave them that payment. I owed them $0. I remember I walked into Best Buy. My head high. I get ready to buy my whatever I wanted to buy. Guess what? Why? I walked inside because I didn't owe them anything. I was done with my debt. But do you know what Paul is saying here? What Paul is saying, Romans chapter 1, verse 15, he says, look, I am in debt to those around me. I can't get out of this debt. I see people and know that I owe them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I go to bed thinking about it. I wake up thinking about it. I go to work thinking about it. I get ready to go to my school and I think about it. Every place I go, I begin to think to myself, I owe these folks a debt. My friend, we owe this world. Well, I don't care what the idol doesn't say, what they look like, what they smell like, how they act like, how wonderful they are, how not wonderful they are, whether they go to church or not go to church, whether they necessarily involved in your group or not in your group, if they drive with your personality, they don't drive with your personality, whoever they are, we owe them a debt because they are people. You know, if I had one wish, like Solomon, right? Solomon had a wish. Say, what would you ask for? You know, I think wisdom is a great thing to ask for, but do you know what I would ask for? I would ask God that I could love people. Just love people like he does. You say, why is that? I believe I truly just loved people the way Christ did. I would get over my nervousness. I'd get over my bashfulness. I'd get over my pride. I'd get over all these things if I just loved people. What does the Bible say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? We call it the love chapter, the chapter about charity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you read about spiritual gifts. Now, everybody likes to throw their little graph and figure out what their spiritual gift is. Man, do your graph all day. That's fine. Interesting to find out spiritual gifts. But you know, that's not the point. 1 Corinthians number 12 talks about all these wonderful spiritual gifts. Then he gets to 1 Corinthians 13. You know, he says, hey, look, you can understand all mysteries. You can have all knowledge. You can have all these gifts. But if you don't have charity, who cares? You can do this, you can sing this, you can be there, you can do that. You have this over there, you got to do this. Who cares if you don't love people? You know what? I believe these people, these men, couldn't keep it to themselves because number one, they were indebted to the ones in the city. Number two, in verse number 9, you see something else. He says, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings. We hold our peace, number one. And then number two, if we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Number two, they couldn't wait. They said, look, okay, guys, we agree to the fact that we have got to tell the people of Samaria what's going on. We got it. We got to do it. But could you imagine one guy piped up and says, let's do it tomorrow. Yeah, let's do it later. You know, let's not do it right now. I mean, come on, let's just enjoy this a little bit more. Neela said, we've got to do this right now. You know, at the beginning of this year, a pastor in Connecticut asked me to come to his church, and he asked me to do a, it's called Vision Sunday. I'm not sure, you might do it around here, I don't know, but in the first year, one of the first Sundays in the year, kind of like get the vision for what this Lord is going to do this upcoming year. And he asked me to preach his vision night. And as I was getting ready to preach his vision night, you know, I was thinking about studying some different things, and I came up with this totally unprofound statement, but that is so true. You ready for this totally unprofound statement? That is this. If nothing changes in 2013, then nothing will ever change. Go write that down somewhere, you know? You say, big deal, but isn't it true? If you change nothing in 2013, then nothing will ever change in your life. You see, what's going to happen is, if we don't change anything, we'll get to the end of 2013. And we'll get to the beginning of 2014. And we're going to wish that we had done all these different things. And so at the beginning of the year, we're going to wish that we did this, wish that we do that, wish that we weren't involved in this, wish we were going to do this. And then guess what? If we don't change, we're going to get to the end of 2014. And we're going to look at the beginning of 2015 and wish to ourselves, man alive, I should have done this different. I should have done this different. And if nothing ever changed, we're going to get to the end of 2016. And that's unfortunately how we live our lives. One day I'll change. One day it's going to come.
One day I'll tell people about Christ. One day I'll witness to my coworker. One day I'm going to tell my family about Christ. One day I'm going to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One day, one day, one day. Unfortunately, one day never comes. You see how important it is. You know, I was preaching to the as a preaching teams this morning. I kind of preached on a different kind of topic. I taught a lesson. They might call it preaching. I taught a lesson about laziness. I believe it's something that slothfulness is something I'm preaching a lot, but I believe God despises the sin of slothfulness. You know, as I'll share with them at the end, I made one key point, and I said to them, don't waste time. You're wasting your life when you are wasting your time. You know, we got one shot at this. We got one life. Amen. After we do our thing, we do not get the chance for it to say game over on the screen and replay this and let me do it again. Right. We get one shot.
That's right.
We got one family to tell the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ about. We got one shot to tell this community that I live in about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what's unfortunate many times to me? And again, listen, please don't shoot me. I have no personal vendettas, but I'm just saying, you know, some people come to me and they like to tell me exactly how long they've been involved in this. You know, young whippersnapper, I've been doing this for this long. Let me say, some folks say, you know, Brother Adrian, I have been saved for 48 years. Great. And listen to me. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. You know, some people say, I've been in this church for since the beginning of the church. The beginning day, I was one of the founding members here. Now, you're telling me, and you look around this building, in 48 years, there ain't nobody around that you can look at in this building. Or maybe they've gone on. That you have had a part of seeing them saved. You've been here for 10 years. 10 years, you've been here for 10 years. And you can look around, and there ain't one person that you either knocked on their door, encouraged them along, done something about seeing them saved. Shoot me now, but
what have we done?
You know what this guy said? Look, I can't keep it to myself. Number one, I am indebted to those that are out there. Number two, I can't wait any longer. I must tell them the good news of Lord Jesus Christ. Then you see something else lastly here in this passage. See, continue to go down to verse number 9, same verse, just taking all the passages and things from this one verse. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, probably one of my favorite things in the Bible is words. I love studying words, word studies, and different things. Mischief is a very interesting word. It's translated mischief here, but in other words, and other places, it's translated the word iniquity. Now, obviously, it should have been translated mischief there. It's just fine. But do you know the word iniquity? When we think about that word, do you know what we have the idea of? We have the idea of sin. We have the idea of wrongdoing. Iniquity actually, sin is more missing than mark, but iniquity has something to do with that which is twisted, that which is perverse. When David confesses to God, he said, God, I committed, and you use the word, he uses the word iniquity. He says, look, I used the body that you gave me, and I misused it. I twisted it. I perverted the purpose that I was given in my life, and I went against your will. That's what he says about iniquity. So these men says, you know what? If we tarry till the morning live, some mischief, some iniquity, some twistiness shall fall upon us. You know, lastly, why I believe these men couldn't keep it to themselves? Because they knew if they did, it was just plain wrong. It's just wrong for them not to do so. You know, I've just got back from out of the country in Honduras. And I used to be very shy about saying the statement I'm getting ready to make until I got back from out of the country. And I make no bones about it now. To a Christian who's been saved and knows the Word of God, and not being involved in missions is just plain wrong. To not be involved and spreading the gospel to this world is just plain wrong. You know, unfortunately, you know what we have treated the Word of God like? I believe it was Brother Keene who mentioned this. We treat the missions as far as like a marathon. It's like, what do you mean by that? You know, many times people go to the marathon, they just want to finish. You know what I mean? Whoo! Got my little number. I finished. Woohoo! I did my thing. You know? I mean, obviously, that's a great feat. Good night. I can't do it. You know? Obviously, just to finish it is wonderful. But do you know, few people, when they enter a marathon, go in to win it. You know what I mean? There's a couple of those dedicated guys, you know, that eat carrot juice and all that stuff. I mean, there's those guys. They're going to eventually, they say they're going to win this thing. But do you know, most say, I just want to finish. You know, unfortunately, we've done the missions. As far as spreading the gospel around the entire world, I did my part. I just got involved a little bit. Had no intention of actually taking the gospel to the entire world. That's just impossible. You kidding me? We have got to get in this to win. God did not give us a task we cannot do. And by the grace of God, these men, when they say we can't keep it to themselves, they know that if they had those things, that it was just plain wrong. Now what if? What if we just switch it around a little bit? Let's just say I was over here, and I have food, I have clothing, I have garments, and let's just say I had all these things piled over here, and I brought somebody from Samaria, and I brought somebody in Samaria, and you looked at this. You know, many times we really criticize the people in the movies, don't we? You know, like, and when I say criticize, like, we have all the answers for that guy and that girl trouble and everything as we're watching the movie. So let's just see, we're watching this movie, okay? We're watching these guys hoard all this stuff over here. You're watching all these people starving over here, and let's just say, as you're watching this TV show of what's happening, you're sitting in your seat and you're just a boiling. Oh my goodness, those selfish ignoramuses, those little idiots. I mean, they're just keeping all this stuff. What's wrong with them? I mean, we would just have a mouthful of those people, wouldn't we? We would say, man, I can't believe their selfishness, their pride, and look at these poor people over here. And you're sitting there watching this all take place. All right. Let's switch the movie around a little bit. Let's sit me right here who has the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over there's a world who does not know. And let's look at me. How selfish. How arrogant. How prideful. How sinful. That you would let those people not know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Changes it, doesn't it, a little bit? I'm just saying, folks. We have been given the responsibility. You say, well, Adrian, you're an evangelist. Well, obviously, this is very near and dear to me. I know. But it does not change the truth of the matter that something still has to be done. I'm almost done. There's a letter. Y'all familiar with BIMI? There's a guy who wrote this letter. And I tell you what, it got a hold of my heart when I read it. This is a guy in Africa. He's in Zaire. He's from the Pygmy tribes in Zaire. And he writes this, I think it's an email, this is a letter that he sent. The wording is a little bit broken because he's trying to write it into English, and that's not his first language. But his name is Mr. Mahol. He says, "Dear Pastor, your booklet, Going Home, was passed to me by a friend on May 28, 1993. After reading it, I just got confused because I never heard before of any person called Jesus who can give eternal life. But before telling you my request, let me share with you this shocking news. I and my three wives have the AIDS virus. My first wife died on February the 14th, 1993, leaving behind two children. As I am writing these words, I do not have any hope for living for 6 months ahead. I have a strong skin rash and big open wounds all over my body. I was told by my doctor that my days are now numbered. I have a sister who is also very sick of AIDS. Our family is gone. We do not have any hope, Pastor. In my village, people are dying like insects. We don't want anything from you, but send us, or come personally, somebody who can teach us more about this man, Jesus, and his eternal life. You can know we can die at any time from today. We only need to know God's word and to be prepared for our death. If this person comes, I'm sorry, actually, he comes down and says, please, please, please come without fail or send a person with the word of God. And that's why I have sent this letter in advance of 2 weeks. If possible, we shall refund your money of transport. We are looking forward to meeting you without fail. He says, Mr. Nohoko, a dying man without hope." That did not come from illustrations.com. That is an actual person who wrote this letter. and say, I need the Lord Jesus Christ? How can I sit with all that I have and basking in God's blessing and not tell others about the precious words of life? I can't keep it to myself. I can't keep it to myself. Can we bow our head and close our eyes together? With our heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you this. You know, when I talked about this everlasting gift of Jesus Christ, many of you are very familiar with that terminology. You know exactly where I'm coming from. And so, as a testimony to God, in just one moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you know this and affirm this fact. If you can say, Brother Adrian, I know exactly what you're talking about. I know for sure, not saying all I ought to be, not saying I'm perfect, but I do know one thing, and that is I do know that if I ever die, I go to heaven. I do know that I'm saved, and I thank God for that. There has been a time in my life that I have asked Jesus Christ to save me from my sin. I know that without a doubt in my mind concerning it. If you can say that honestly, and you know it before God, as we're here in church, could you do me a favor right now? Could you just raise your hand as high as you are able? Say, Brother Adrian, I know I'm saved, not saying I'm all I ought to be, but I do know I am a child of God. I